The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have a bonus episode for you featuring another interview with two more cast members from Hulu's The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, Taylor Frankie Paul and Macy Neely. So like the Junket interviews from last week's episode, this is a dual interview, and it was taped before the show came out and before the women had seen the show. But I did get double the amount of time with them. So it produced a conversation that got obviously a little deeper than the ones from last week that were more to sort of a get to know you kind of things. And we were able to get into specifics. So if you've watched the show, obviously recommend this interview. If you have not, I recommend going to watch the show. Like it's the number one show on Hulu right now. It's, you know, I think it's dividing people in a way that's starting a conversation. It's kind of a water cooler show right now. And I'm sort of waiting on the season two renewal. I'm sure we'll get it, but I think they should strike while the iron's hot with this group. But yeah, so I highly recommend going to watch that. If you have watched it, you'll enjoy this interview with Macy and Taylor. And so we talked about a lot of things. We talked about their decision to do the show, you know, the sliding scale of Mormon beliefs and where they sort of land right now, not realizing the show was even going to be about them being Mormon. Like they thought it was going to be more about their work and being on TikTok and all that kind of stuff. But it really obviously centered a lot on Mormonism. And so we talked about realizing that it was about that, being so open on camera. And we also talked about more specific. So the complicated dynamic between Macy and Taylor's boyfriend, Dakota, they don't like each other, but Macy and Taylor are friends. So it creates this really unusual dynamic, honestly. And they don't really hide the fact that they don't like each other. We discussed that. We discussed where things stand with Whitney, or at least where things stood with Whitney before they had all seen the show. Whitney does not seem happy about the show, judging by her TikToks and her social media activity since they've seen the show. So I'm not sure that what Macy's answer remains true, but I did ask about that. We talked about how Taylor and Dakota are doing because they were having relationship issues, and but then they welcomed their baby. So I wanted to get an update on that. And then I wanted to know what Taylor thought about the fact that the show ends with Macy calling Jenna, who is the woman that claims to have slept with Dakota. That's how the season ends, is a cliffhanger. And Taylor clearly has some complicated feelings about that, naturally so. So again, today is an interview episode, a bonus episode. And tomorrow, our usual Friday episode, I'll have Kate Casey back on the show, where we're going to talk about The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. So we'll share our thoughts on that show. And just to tease you, like, I really liked the show, but Kate didn't. So we kind of came from opposing points of view on the show. And then we also talked a little bit about Selling Sunset season 8, which again, also came out last weekend. It's a little overwhelming how much we have to talk about, but we also shared some thoughts on that. And then I was also, one more plug, I was on Betch's Bravo podcast, Mention It All, this week. And I also talked about Secret Lives of Mormon Wives there with my friend Dylan Hafer, who hosts that fantastic podcast. So yeah, I can't shut up about the show. I think that this tomorrow's episode will be our final episode about this season. Don't worry. There's a lot more Bravo stuff to come, but I did want to sort of get as much out there about this show because there was a lot of good opportunities around it. So keep listening for my chat with Taylor, Frankie, Paul, and Macy Neely. Stream season 1 of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives on Hulu now. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. I want to gab. All right. Today we are gabbing with Taylor, Frankie, Paul, and Macy Neely, who are from The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives on Hulu. The show has, I've binged the show in less than 24 hours. It's like eaten up my entire life. And I'm so excited to talk to you both about it. It's truly compelling TV, and you're all incredibly open with your life. And I think that should be so commended. So Macy and Taylor, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us on.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. So, you know, I know that both of you have both sort of been subject to criticism already. We're talking even just from the trailer being out. Like, it's just some people in the community, I guess, don't want the show to exist. And I'm curious from your perspectives why that is. Is that because just your lifestyles aren't what, you know, the typical Mormon lifestyle looks like? Is that because people think you just shouldn't be on a show like this at all? Like, it, from your perspective, sort of what's the crux of why this show is kind of such a controversy in your world?
I think number one, the title. People right away are like, okay, you're talking about Mormons, like we're Mormons, like we are not like these women is what they're seeing. They're seeing us in crop tops, which I guess they is not like traditional for like Mormon wives, I guess. So they, I think people are most worried about in the Mormon community. It's like, oh, this is a misrepresentation of who we are. We're not like this. They've seen the trailer and they're like, we're not swingers. We're not polygamists. We don't drink. It's like, yes, exactly. But you're judging a book by its cover. And so I think people are worried about the unknown of like, people are going to think Mormons are like this. But I'm also like, people think Mormons are so polygamous. Like, there's so misconceptions. Like, we shouldn't be judging a book by its cover. And I think our hope with the show too is showing that people that like, we're relatable. We're just like you. Like, we're not polygamous. Like, we're not like so different. And I think everyone in the Mormon community can relate to each of us because we're all on our different journeys with religion.
Yeah, going along with that, I think everyone has judged the book by its cover. They have no idea yet what the show is about. And so I could see how that can come off misleading, but again, also not misleading, because there are LDS members out there that are living these lives and they do go to church on Sunday and they don't talk about it. And that's okay, to each their own. But I do feel like it's very unfair for these members to come out and say, this is misleading. This is not happening. This is not how we live, because that is also false. Some people do live that way. And who are you, these people, to say that we don't live like this and we're not Mormon? Unfortunately, that it's not up to anybody else. We are Mormon and we do go to church on Sundays and we do live, you know, maybe not every rule of the book, but, you know, a lot of it. And so, I mean, my story goes more into the past of what I haven't always lived, but you know,
right.
Born and raised and I've always gone and never strayed from it. So I think it's an unfair statement, but again, they haven't seen it yet. So.
Right. Right. And I feel like just from my perspective, I didn't grow up around Mormonism. I wasn't very familiar with what it meant to be Mormon, but watching the show, I've seen Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. They talk about it. Like, I've been exposed to other pop culture things where it's been discussed in a more modern way. And I feel like the judgment is pretty anti-Mormon in terms of what you guys believe as a faith, the judgment that you're receiving, you know, just kind of off of the basis of this trailer being out or just doing this show. It feels kind of like hypocritical.
Exactly. It's been for all of us challenging to watch, because we're like, oh my gosh, it's like, yeah, you're sitting here judging us, but you're doing the exact same thing to us. So it's hard for us to even grasp, but we have to sit back and I think just wait until they watch the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what was most disappointing, I guess, for me, was like, wow, like my own community, because I am very active in the church. Like I hold a calling, which is like a whole thing. But and then we're having like our own community kind of like attack us. Like, if anything, we should be like open arms, like come to church. Like everyone goes to church because we're sinners. That's the whole point, or else we wouldn't have church. So it's like, why are we acting like you have to be perfect to be a Mormon? Because you don't have to be.
So going off of that, and like probably knowing that that was going to be a reaction from some subset of people, probably just based again on the lifestyle. What was the process like of agreeing to do a show like this and to put your lives out there, kind of warts and all? And because I think also in a great way, a lot of you are pushing against some of those kind of antiquated ideas and presenting a more modern version of what it means to be Mormon. So what was the process like of really agreeing to do this? Because it's a big leap. It really is.
I would say, like, at least when we went into it, maybe you feel differently, Taylor, but like when we went into it, we didn't know it was going to be about religion at all. Like, it wasn't really mentioned when we filmed the pilot. Like, we talked about it a little bit in interviews, but it was never going to be like, hey, this is going to be like about Mormon moms who do TikTok. It was just supposed to be like more about our careers. So going into it, I didn't know that religion was really going to be talked about as much as it is. But I would say I've always been an open book. Like, I always just air out everything. Like, I started social media basically to talk about my life story and how I didn't follow the guidelines as a Mormon, right? And I got pregnant out of marriage. And so I've always been so open with my life that doing a show wasn't like too difficult of a decision to make. I was like, I bear it all out there anyway. So why?
Yeah, I feel like for me, one, I guess before the religion part, it was like a chance for me to kind of like show people who I am, besides like this little version of TikTok that they knew and my story and just like the swinger mom. Like, I wanted to be known for like something else. And it was an opportunity to kind of tell my story. But with religion, it's a perfect opportunity to show ways of people live, how they live Mormonism. Again, I've talked about it, but a very devout member, one who was born and raised and left, and then everything in between. So I felt like this was a perfect opportunity to also show that it's not very black and white. It's gray, and it's okay if you're in the gray, and there's no set way of having to live the LDS culture.
Right, for sure. And Taylor, you know, I mean, Macy and Taylor, both of you are so open on the show. Like, it really is. Like, it's really, I could never be that way. And I really commend you both being that way. And Taylor, I feel like, you know, a lot of people have talked about your story that made a lot of headlines for the past couple of years. And again, you're down to talk about it. And I think that is really brave. And I'm curious from your perspective, like, is part of that because just like you've heard it all and it's sort of like, why not just be open and show people that you're rebuilding your life after hitting such a low? Or I'm just curious what your kind of point of view and mindset was, because we have an 11th month jump in that after the first episode, after everything happened. And it almost feels like you're a renewed person for the rest of the episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually heard that I'm two different people in the show, so I can't wait to see it myself. But absolutely, I feel like it was a chance. Yes, everything was already out. My dirty laundry was for the internet, but they only had certain parts of it. And I was judged off those little parts of what they had and what I gave them. So this was an opportunity to kind of give more of a bigger picture from childhood, you know, trauma, if you will, or some issues that I grew up with and then in my marriage and divorce. So it gave more of a storyline of being, oh, maybe this is the way she is, rather than being like, oh, you were the swinger mom and judgment for that, you know? So I am very open. I think if you're doing it in front of God, which, you know, how we act, why not show people who you actually are? And that's my issue with a lot of these LDS members, as they're doing this over here and acting this way over here. And it's just like, why? It's just, if you're already doing it, then just own it. But a lot of members in our, you know, religion do care about their image, and to each their own, I feel like, but I'm just not one of them. I think if I'm going to do it, I don't care who knows. It doesn't make me any less of a member than you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You both have your head like on strong, and it's like, if you know what your own faith is and you know what you, how you are. And so I think that comes across really well in the show for both of you. I mean, it's the show opens with a conversation between you and it kind of showcases your friendship. And it's, again, before the time jump that the rest of the season happens. But like, your friendship is really complicated because I think you're both really good friends to each other, but you also aren't, you aren't scared to give each other hard truths. Macy, you aren't afraid to bump heads with Dakota, and like, and Taylor, you, I think it seems like you're really okay with them both kind of really being honest with their opinions about each other. It's just a really interesting dynamic to see on a show like this. I'd love if you could speak to how you've worked through that, I guess, because we see a lot of lows on the show in terms of that, but I'm curious maybe where things have gotten to at this point.
Yeah, I would say me and Taylor, like, very, I think that's why we became friends like so well, because we're similar in that sense where she's not afraid to say whatever, and same with me. I'm like, I will tell you exactly how I'm feeling. I'm gonna give you the hard truth. And I think that's how me and Taylor have always been together, which is what, why we get along together so well. It's like when she's dating Dakota, like, you know, and I had some issues there, I'm not afraid to tell her that, you know. I'm like, I just want to, I'm also a very low protective friend, and it kind of bites me in the ass sometimes because I'm like, I want to protect so bad. It's like, love my friends so much. And then, but sometimes I might overstep, right? Because I'm getting too involved, but I just like can't help myself sometimes. And I think with Taylor and I, you know, it's something that we've had to navigate for sure. But Taylor like doesn't care either. I mean, you can speak on it, Taylor, but she's like, oh, you can say that, I don't care. You can tell them that, I don't care. I'm like, all right. Like, she, it's also like her personality. She just doesn't care like about me stepping in either. So I think it's, but you say, Taylor.
Yeah, no, I feel like I agree with everything. Like, if you have an issue with Dakota, like, go ahead and tell him, and vice versa. I feel like getting it all out into the open and talking about it is the only way you're going to resolve it. Again, it's like, why pretend to be this person that you don't want to be? So if you have an issue, then tell him, and vice versa. So that dynamic was quite difficult because, one, I have a protective friend. I know her intentions are good. And then also a protective boyfriend where I know both of their intentions, because I feel like that they love me. So I feel like it's not, it was hard because I love both of them too. So it wasn't, I didn't want them pinned against each other, but at the same time, like, I didn't want this fake friendship either. Like, I wanted all of us to like kind of get out in the open,
yeah,
figure it out so we can all go out to dinner and have a good time, you know?
Better to have it all out in the open. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like me and Dakota also, like, it's, we even are trying to figure out our relationship because we had this conversation, I think, at Taylor's baby shower, where it's like, we both like vibe really well together. Like, when we're together in person, I'm like, oh, I love him. Like, and I think it's like mutual, right? And then we're not together, I'm like, why is he doing that? Like, I get like so upset by things, and it's the same with him. He's like, why is she doing this? So I think it's like, it's a love-hate relationship for sure.
Right, right. And then in this group in general, it's so, the dynamic changes so much throughout when you guys film, because, you know, Taylor, you kind of come back, and Whitney's also coming back around the same time. And it's like, okay, let's get this group back together, get back to sort of the core of what this group's about.
Yeah.
But then there's a division after Jen doesn't invite half the group to her baby blessing. But then that all kind of gets thrown out because Whitney kind of turns everybody against her by how she acts and doesn't show up to things. And then Jen leaves the group at the very end of the season. It keeps you on your toes. But I guess, like, one, I think it's interesting that you two were able to sort of maintain a friendship despite some of that division, it seems. Why can't this group stay cohesive and stay kind of as one unit?
I mean, I think the hard part is that we all have very different personalities. Yeah. I think some of us are more similar than others. Some of us are maybe more sensitive than others. And I think that's maybe where you have that clash or divide, is that some people have bigger issues with certain things that others don't. And I think maybe that's why it's all over the place, is that you just have eight different women. Like, our periods are sinking. Like, we're all just like, it's, at one point, something bad's about to happen, like drama, whatever it is. And so I think it just depends on the personality in the group. And I think that's why it's hard, is like, when you have eight close friends, like, how do you keep everyone happy, you know?
Yeah, I just go along with that. Like, when you get a big group of girls, I mean, the odds are of everyone getting along is very low. And so I felt like it's kind of a given that some girls are going to have, you know, issues or clash and whatnot. So almost a given in this situation. And it's ultimately, if we can get over it and get through it and act like adults, you know?
Right, totally. But I also feel like it's like, you know, you have like this one contingent of the group, like Jesse, Demi, Layla. It's like, they aren't as, I don't know if intense is the right word, but they live a different level, I guess, of adhering to like kind of the like typical Mormon values. And I think that sometimes that creates some friction within this group, where they get frustrated with maybe some of the women who adhere to what their husbands and boyfriends want out of them. And they have, they air those opinions. I feel like that creates a friction as well. So I guess something from my perspective as somebody who didn't grow up around Mormonism and wasn't as familiar with it, is some of that because like, you're not on a fixed point. You're all moving in terms of how you're living and what you think is okay, not okay to do, and figuring out what works best for you in terms of adhering to some of the teachings, but also pushing back and being more modern. Like I'm curious if you guys are on sort of a moving playing field as well.
Oh, I would say absolutely. That is a big part of it, is I feel like I said, there's one devoted side, like a few devoted, you know, people, and there's some that have completely left and everything in between. So when you mix all of it and you're making a show about Mormonism, of course there's going to be this friction of, I think this is fine, or I agree with this, or I absolutely know. And then some are like, well, why not? You know? And so again, like you're saying, we're all living in this different mindset. So of course there's going to be this friction.
Yeah. I completely agree with Taylor. I'm like, I would say too, just adding to that, is that like everyone has their own free agency is how I look at it. And like, to judge whether someone wants to be more devout or someone who doesn't want to be devout, or they want to be in the church, who cares? Like, let people make their own decisions and just support them as a friend regardless.
Yeah, for sure. And do you guys get messages from people who have been following you over the years on TikTok, but also since the show is kind of coming out, like people who feel seen by the fact that you guys are living a slightly more modern existence than maybe is expected of you? Like, it's, I know that the criticism is really loud, but I'm also guessing that people feel seen on the other side of it.
I would say the criticism is very loud, public facing, like in the comments. At least on me, the DMs are very supportive, where people are like, I feel seen, like I feel heard. I'm so glad this is coming out, because now I feel like people in the church camp is not relatable sometimes. Like sometimes people feel like they don't want to go to church because they don't want to feel judged, because maybe they aren't drinking tea, or maybe they're drinking coffee, or whatever it is, you know, like some people. I think it's just a good way for people to relate to us. And so I would say, although the criticism is loud, I feel like the support on the inside is what matters. And it's pretty heavy as well.
Yeah, I agree completely with Mace. I feel like there's been, for me, more support than the hate, or maybe that's what I've chosen to look at. But yeah, absolutely. I feel like people are like, even before the show released, the fact that I was like going to church and like I would get my coffee before church, and people are like, I love that. I love that you can decide what you want to do and drink coffee and still go to church. Like, I feel like I could go back again because I'm living all these other ways, but still can go to church. And so I feel like it almost motivated, you know, people that have left because they felt so like out of place, that they had this like chair to go to church, you know, this opportunity. So I can't imagine how it is now putting it out to, you know, national news or the show nationally, to let people know that you don't have to be perfect to be a part of this community.
Right, for sure. So this was filmed a little bit ago, and there's been some updates, I'm sure. First of all, Taylor, congratulations on Ever. Beautiful baby. And it seems like you are very happy with Ever, with Dakota. And it seems like you have this family unit. But obviously, that's a little bit different from where you were when you were filming the show, really, really pregnant, fighting a lot. Where do things stand with you and Dakota now? And how have you kind of been able to seemingly get to this better place?
Yeah, it has been a work in progress, I will say. But at the end of the day, I feel like our goal was to draw boundaries and certain things of like, oh, if you're going to go to California, then you're going to come with me, just so we can feel the safety. Because obviously, like, the foundation has been like our hardest part, which you do see in the show, right? Like, there's trust issues and whatnot. So I felt like in order for us to get through this, the only way we're going to get through this is for partners, and we have communication and boundaries. And that is what we like ultimately set. And if we didn't have those things, we knew that we were not going to last through something like this, right? Because you're going to get people coming from the woodworks of like being like kind of telling you things you don't want to hear. They know we're rocky, so they're going to kind of even push it more knowing that. So I feel like those like three things have really helped us through it, and I feel like are going to continue to help us through it.
And I feel like a big part of some of that conversation was about marriage and you not feeling ready for marriage and him pushing for that. Where do you stand on that now? Sort of, do you have a plan in terms of that for you two?
Yeah, I know he's been asking like, hey, look, if I propose, like, are we ready? Are we there yet? And I've been like, yeah, like I am fully ready for a proposal. I did want a longer engagement just to kind of get more time with him. My goal was to not really get married to someone fast after my divorce, because I just wanted to learn about that person over time. And I do go again in that in the show, you know, over that. But yeah, like I don't want to have an engagement and get married 3 months later. Like, you know, most of the LDS people, I feel like it's everything moves very fast in our culture. And so for me this time around, I wanted to just take my time with it. So if we can get engaged, I would love that. But that doesn't mean a marriage right after. And if we're on the same page of that as well.
Got it. And then Macy, for you, you know, things got really complicated for you at the very end of the season when you had your baby mama launch. Whitney did not show up, but then she shows up to the birthday party and you and, you know, everyone had just unfollowed her. She had really pulled herself out of this group, but she was one of your, if not your best friend, one of your best friends in this group. Mm-hmm. Where do things stand with Whitney and you now, Whitney and the group now, because it's been some time. And I know that, and I know that some of you guys have refollowed her. So
I would say like me and Whitney are definitely still friends. We're definitely still close, but we're definitely not nearly as close as we were before. And I don't want to put the blame on her at all, but I definitely think she isolated herself even after the incident. Like I've reached out, I've hit her up, you know, and like we still talk from time to time, but we're not nowhere nearly as close as we were. But I think part of that is because she wanted to isolate herself and she kind of wanted to get away from all of it. So I can't blame her on that. But yeah, definitely not the same as before, but we're still friends.
Okay. And then the season ends with a cliffhanger where Macy, you make a tough call. You call this woman, Jenna, who you think was behind the confession. You two, Macy and Taylor, in my screen, you seem to be on fairly good terms right now.
Yeah.
Are we going to see the end of that phone call in the future? How did that affect your friendship? I guess, Taylor, when you found out that that had happened.
I was a little shocked, like, that they wanted, you know, to bring her up and in, because I mean, of course, that is like the most triggering thing that's been through my relationship. And honestly, I've done a lot of healing at this point that it has nothing to do with her and everything to do with like my inner issues of like everything that had happened. So there has been some growth there, but of course, it is a triggering name for me. Macy, of all people, I feel like knows that. So I mean, nothing to her. I think a lot of learning, it's been a lot on me and self-growth of like, that is not the issue. Macy's not, no one's the issue. It is all inner here. So working on fixing that.
Got it.
Yeah. And I would say too, like, I wouldn't have like called her if Taylor wouldn't, if Taylor said like, do not do it. I would have been like, okay, I won't do it. Like I wouldn't want to push a boundary that is like too solid, I guess. But I think also when I was, you know, listening to Taylor and Dakota that one time when they were fighting when I was there, I was like, I almost want to help. Like I was able to, that was like the first time I was able to kind of understand where Dakota was coming from. I never really heard him speak about things or his side. So for me, I was like, if anything, like I hope that me calling this girl can like solve these issues and we could just put this to rest and then they can move on. Because like genuinely, like even though maybe it doesn't seem like an issue, like I've always wanted to like Dakota. I want them to work out. They have a child together, right? So like, like, if anything, maybe I can help solve these issues. Granted, should I be getting that involved? Probably not. But, like, I think as a protective, like, friend, I, like, can't help myself. So, yeah. So, I think that was kind of, like, the reason behind it. And I think you'll have to wait for season two to see if that, the rest of that phone call.
Crossing my fingers for season two. Last quick question before. The season also ends with Jen moving to New York. Her marriage had also been kind of a big topic of conversation. Where do things stand with her and the group?
I mean, everyone's still very close to Jen, for sure. I think during filming, during all the drama, I think it was hard for certain members of the group. I mean, like, I definitely wasn't stoked about her husband. I know Jesse had a little harder feeling than one, because I think it was triggering for her in her previous relationship. But regardless of that, we don't care, because at the end of the day, all we want to do is support Jen. And like, everything matters about Jen, right? It doesn't matter about her husband. So as far as the group dynamic, we're all very still close with her.
You just mentioned a potential second season. I would love to see a second season of this show. I know that it's just coming out, but it's just, you guys have such compelling lives. And again, you're such open books and make for such good reality stars. Honestly, it seems like you're kind of just made for this. Would a second season, do you think it would look pretty similar? Do you think like it would be the whole group again? Do you think you would change how you approached it? What would that potentially look like in the future?
I mean, I feel like it would be the same, but different at the same time. I feel like we'll be at different places in our lives. Kind of like you saw the 11-month gap, right? You saw a version of me and then another version of me. So I feel like there would be even a different one, because you have like, I feel like post-divorce, don't care about anyone, super angry. And then pregnant, super emotional and vulnerable. And then hopefully if we did get a second season, I would be like not pregnant and maybe my normal self. So there'd be a third version of me. My personality comes out. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like, of course, I think we'd all be at different places. So it'd look the same, but different too, you know?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, everyone's life is changing. Like as you see, Jen is like moving, right? Like everyone's going to be in different stages of their lives. Like someone will probably be pregnant again. Like who knows? Could be me. I don't know. We'll see. But so I think it'll definitely be interesting to follow that dynamic. And I definitely think we all learned a lot filming season one and like learning how to like film together and just like be on reality TV. Like we're always learning. So I think that season two would be interesting because now we have a little bit of experience under our belt and we'll kind of see how that helps us for season two.
100%. Well, Macy and Taylor, I so appreciate your time today. Again, congratulations on just producing such a great show. I think that people are really going to respond to this. And again, I hope that we get more from you guys in the future. So I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much for having us and the support. We appreciate it.
Of course.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you
for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.
From lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara to awakening your eyes with lift and color from the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is the go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.